All right, folks, we'll go ahead and get started with our agenda session tonight. We have resolutions under personnel first. So, Councillor Alstead, if you could please go ahead and read those in.
Thank you, President Forsman. Item number two, Resolution 945, a resolution approving proposed amendments to the specifications for the existing civil service classification of fire. Item number three, Resolution 946, approving proposed amendments to the specifications for the existing civil service classification of senior buyer. Item number four, Resolution 947, approving proposed amendments to the specifications of the existing civil service classification of credit and collections administrator. And number five, Resolution 948, a resolution approving proposed amendments to the specifications for the existing civil service classification of payroll practitioner.
Thank you, Councillor Alstead. I don't see anybody with their hand up, so we'll move along to Councillor Randorf.
Thank you, President Forsman. Item 6, Resolution 938, is a resolution approving a First Amendment to the development agreement between the Duluth Economic Development Authority and Merge LLC for the development of the Urbane Duluth Multifamily Residential Project.
Thank you, Councillor Randorf. Councillor Tamana, go ahead with your question.
Thank you, President Forsman. You see, that's a really large jump in the amount that was proposed and the amount that we're voting on. Is there someone that can explain that?
President Forsman, Councillor Tamanek, I'll do my best. I know that the construction cost increased greatly over time, and the city willing to help do their part, increase the TIF by another $700,000 was the big contribution here. Oh. Main reason.
Follow up. Where will that money come from? Where's the extra $700,000 coming from?
I don't know the answer to that. I'll have to get back to you unless Councillor Forsman does from his, or President Forsman does from his time sitting with DETA.
Thank you for kicking that back to me, Director Benning.
I was on the advice of CAO Schuckman.
Smart. So Councillor Tamanek, it's part of the TIF financing, and our financial consultant Ellers does the but-for test to make sure that there's enough capacity there. And so I am sure that they have done that to evaluate it and say that there's enough TIF potential through the project's increase in valuation. Yeah, there you go. I didn't see Adam or anybody. So, all right. You can always follow up to get the absolute 100% answer, but that's what it says in the resolution as well. I don't see anybody else on this topic, so we'll go on to Public Works and Utilities under Councillor Mayo.
Thank you, President Forsman. Let me just skip. Resolution 939 is authorizing a no-cost partnership agreement with the state of Minnesota to allow the city of Duluth to erect and use a salt shed on property owned by Minnesota Department of Transportation, or MnDOT. Resolution 942 is authorizing the purchase of brass water service fittings for the 2023 projects from Dakota Supply Group for an amount not to exceed $162,548.14. And Resolution 950 is authorizing the sole purchase of a rapid mixer from SPX Flows US LLC in the amount of $60,424.
Councillor Mayo. Councillor Tamanek.
Thank you. Just a quick question. I don't know a lot about lead remediation. I was just wondering how these brass fittings fit into that scheme.
Enforcement, Councillor Tamanek, fortunately I can answer this one better than I did my previous question. So the brass fittings are the components that connect the new services. Right now the service is lead, and they have to be connected either at the house or at the city water main, and those are the fittings that we use to couple those two components together. And they're a long lead time. That's why we're ordering them now.
I know a lot of our lead remediation money is coming from the state. Will this also come from the state?
That's correct, President Forsman, Councillor Tamanek. This is, if you remember previously, you passed a resolution authoring us to purchase things ahead of the PFA loan, the $10 billion that we're going to get.
Yeah.
So that's what this is. That's what this allows us to do, is to purchase these components with the intention that we're going to get reimbursed by the state when that PFA loan does come to fruition.
Thank you, Mr. Manning.
Thank you, Councillor Tamani. Okay. We've got two ordinances to be read for the second time. The first one is under Finance and Vice President Kennedy.
I'm on item number 10 and ordinance 032, providing that all assessments shall be paid on installments unless paid otherwise, and deleting the requirement for an application, therefore, amending section 45-82, subsections B and C of the Duluth City Code 1959 as amended.
Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. And Councillor O is not here tonight, so Councillor Tomanek, would you mind reading in on that one?
Ordinance 35, an ordinance authorizing the conveyance of real property in the Oneyota neighborhood to the Duluth Seaway Port Authority for nominal consideration.
Thank you, Councillor Tomanek. All right, anything else, councillors, before we start our Finance Committee meeting? There are three ordinances. Excuse me. So, Councillor Mayo, it is your turn. Go ahead.
All right. It's a second read, so we've heard it before. Ordinance 33, dedicating a perpetual easement for street and utility purposes over city-owned property.
Thank you. Just testing to make sure everybody was paying attention. Not. Okay. We can start our Finance Committee meeting if we want to have folks come up, whoever's going to be presenting on that tonight. And I will switch chairs with our Finance Chair.
Custom chair. Okay, councilors and folks, we will be hearing from the park maintenance department tonight. So,
that's another one of our departmental budgets. We're going to be here all week presenting multiple times. Not really. Tonight we'll present our Parks Maintenance Division Manager, Eric Berkland, will be presenting the Parks Maintenance Division on December 1st. You will receive the associated presentation on the Parks and Rec Division. Eric, do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chair Kennedy, councilors. So, Parks Maintenance. So Parks Maintenance gets about $3.5 million from the general fund, and we're also funded to the tune of about just shy of $700,000 in the Parks Fund as well to make up our total budget. We cover a lot of territory. We have a lot of functional areas. This kind of breaks down where all of our funding and effort goes to. By far, our biggest effort is placed into the landscaping portion, which is gardening and taking care of green spaces all throughout the city. Athletics fields and trail maintenance follow close behind. Grass mowing is quite significant as well. But we have quite a diverse group of crew and a full tree crew and the city forester in our division as well. Differences between 22 and 23. Primarily, these were mostly salaries. Salary increases, which has been common in other budgets within our department. what was additional was an increased costs in fleet services and motor fuels and some union reimbursement for uniforms, which was a notable changes within our budget this past year. Going forward, we have ski trails grants that helps us to fund the grooming that we do and in conjunction with the DNR ski pass, and that reimburses us for taking care of ski trails within the city, as well as tourism tax revenue, which went up slightly. Our FTEs increased slightly. We had a retirement of a lead worker, and we have decided to hire a parks maintenance worker. We're re-evaluating our two other lead workers. We effectively have three lead workers, a forester, and then two generalist lead workers. So we're working to rebalance that, and we'll be hiring shortly a parks maintenance worker to reach our full complement. We did also add, we participate in a department-wide grant coordinator, and that's why our FTE count went up slightly over this past year. So our mission is to provide year-round services to over 9,000 acre park system that includes 89 athletic fields and courts, 353 miles of trails, forests, natural areas, and a host of other facilities. We focus on aesthetics, the environment, improve the livability, and contribute to the sustainable future of our park system. Our mission is to provide citizens and visitors safe, well-maintained parks, trails, green spaces for both recreational and athletic activities. Our division is managed by myself, and also on a daily basis, for the day-to-day stuff, Cheryl Skafty is our Parks and Grounds Maintenance Supervisor. We have grant coordinator, part-time natural resource coordinator, and operations coordinator, and budget analysts that we share across the department. And we have three major areas under our lead workers, the forestry group, and landscape, sanitation, and amenities, and trails, mowing, and athletics. We have a large seasonal and temporary workforce, and we typically try to target getting about 35 to 40 staff that we bring in on a temporary or seasonal basis throughout the year. Most of that is focused in the summer season, but we do bring in some winter laborers to help with snow removal. Notable challenges for our 23 budget, parks maintenance workers, which are the bulk of our workforce in park maintenance, their job description was updated as part of a citywide process to update older job descriptions, and they moved from a step 27 to a 28, so we needed to absorb that increase in salaries, which was just over $42,000. We had increase in benefits, as I've mentioned, fuel, as I've mentioned, and increased parts and labor for maintaining our vehicles. So we also are anticipating a $10,000 increase for our waste management contract, which we collect over 300 cans with garbage and recycling around the parks, and we bring them to centralized locations and waste management and takes the waste for us. So those costs are going up as well. Equity and inclusion. We've been focusing a lot on flat surface accessibility, access where it doesn't exist or where it is deteriorated, and we've been trying to improve that as we've gone through our park system, and have done a number of those small projects this year. Fun facts. All of our parks maintenance workers, they carry one major certification and two minor certifications related to their job descriptions. So they're all generalists, but we ask them to find areas in which they specialize and get certified. We have five certified arborists that are certified with the International Society of Arborists. And then all of them are licensed through the Minnesota Department of Agriculture as pesticide applicators. And they also hold commercial CDL driver's license, which allows them to fill in for snow plowing with streets maintenance in the wintertime, and also to handle all the heavy equipment that we operate out of the parks maintenance toolhouse. Our tool house is home to a slew of feral cats, and our parks maintenance supervisor actually adopted one and took him home. So those are the fun facts. Accomplishments. We've hired three new-time park maintenance workers, and we this year, for the first year that since I've been with parks maintenance, we were able to get our full complement of seasonal and temporary staff, which was no small feat in the current job market. So kudos to Cheryl Skafty for working that problem with HR and being able to attract 35 people to come and work in our parks. We were able to complete $90,000 worth of deferred maintenance projects, which is nearly double than we were able to complete last year. And we've also developed a comprehensive deferred maintenance program that has defined and prioritized over 300 different projects, small projects, to improve things like failing fences and sidewalks and basketball hoops that are falling down or whatever it might be throughout our park system. All the little things that folks notice when they're out using our parks. So all we need to do is keep working on trying to fund that program. We're working closely with our partners on better defining and working with them to deliver on their maintenance requests throughout our park system for different groups that are using our parks, and trying to help find ways to equally prioritize how we help them and what resources that we can give them. Our Emerald Ash Borer program is moving forward. We continue to get grants to help move that work forward with removals and also adding in new tree plantings. And let's see. Also, we've designated a portion of the ARPA fundings. We've used that to help us with cleanup efforts related to unhoused folks in city parks as we continue to work with outreach staff in the community to clean up areas that have been heavily impacted. And then we're also working on implementing a new system for contracted mowers, which includes online reporting and maps of contracted sites. We have a huge array of mowing, and it's just something that requires us to be better at managing, and so I think we're making some good progress in that regard. I'll highlight some of the projects we've gotten done. Repaved parking lot entrance at Park Point, seal-coated parking lots at Chambers, Memorial, 12th Street Beach, Piedmont Brewer, Hartley, and Pulaski Street. Added concrete slabs and picnic tables at Lester. Replenished wood fiber fall zones at Cobb and Washington Center. That's a comprehensive program that we're doing. We're going through all playgrounds and changing out the fall zone material. Converted fall zone from sand to wood fiber. Added accessible ramp at Washington Square. Replaced the bocce ball courts at Wheeler. Installed a rain garden at Wheeler. Completed sand mitigation and landscaping at the A Street Beach and ordered new benches for Congdon and the Lester Trails, among a host of other activities. Challenges. We've had a number of staff turnover with retirements or new job opportunities, and so it's resulted in a higher number of our employees coming in. We have a comprehensive competency program for our staff, so as we have more staff that are newer, It takes more time for them to learn all the different things that we do. So that's just a bit of an operational challenge that we have. Also, balancing routine maintenance responsibilities and our deferred maintenance backlog. We're fighting against some failing infrastructure, and it's becoming more of a challenge in many different areas throughout the parks. And the rising cost of equipment, fleet service parts, and motor fuels is tightening our budgets as we try to use that money to get stuff done in the parks. It's important to note that we have probably the widest, biggest array of different types of equipment of any individual. So our needs for small engine repair and other things from fleet are quite extensive and varied. Opportunities. We've developed winter work groups over all of our different functional areas. Including mowing, amenities, trails, landscaping, athletics, and forestry. And we're working, Cheryl and I are working with staff to find ways that we can improve, things that we can make more efficient, and just listening to staff's ideas on how we can go about doing what we're supposed to be doing in a more effective manner. And then we're also continuing to build on our relationships with PFM and Parks and Recreation and have a strong collaboration as we act as the maintenance stewards for the city's park system. Questions?
Councilor Randolph, I apologize.
Thank you, Chair Kennedy. Thank you so much, Manager Brooklyn, for the presentation. Question on the increase in the waste management contract. Did you say that was $10,000? Is there any latitude we have other vendors to be able to negotiate with them or increase their licensing to be able to, you know, operate in the city? Any, there's no opportunity there?
Councilor, Chair Kennedy, Councilor Randorf, I think there is opportunity there, and we're taking a look at that. We're looking at ways that we can maybe eliminate the amount of sites where we send, where we collect garbage. We're talking with waste management, and I mean that by centralized, where we bring in all the cans to bring in. So we wouldn't reduce the amount of garbage we collect, but we might reduce the amount of collection sites for waste management and get more efficient that way. Yes, we need to work with purchasing to look at how we can improve these numbers, but this has been a pretty this has been common for all of our waste management issues, is the cost just is going up, and we need to be more efficient.
And a follow-up, if I may. Thank you. And a follow-up. I didn't hear you mention we had a lot of emerald ash borer die out this year, right? Has that been a burden? Will that be a continuing burden to take those trees down?
I think that we're making good progress on this program, and I think that we're keeping up, especially when it comes to the boulevard trees. It becomes more challenging as we move into actual park systems or get away from the boulevard system, and we have more failures of trees in parks where there's a lot of them. And so we'll have to look at different strategies. But for the most part, I feel pretty good about what our forestry crew's been able to do. I think we're holding our own, and we're moving forward with a steady plan of removals and replacements. We have condemned more trees than I've ever seen before, that are just, they're going.
And that's the ash trees specifically?
The ash trees, correct.
Wow. Do you have a number?
I don't. I could get that for you, though.
Mr. Mayo.
Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. I just have a couple of questions, and actually going off what Councilor Randorf was just asking with the EAB removal, I was contacted by a constituent, and I don't know if it was specifically the parks plan, but who said that there was a new plan being proposed by the city that was going to move through the Natural Resources Commission related to EAB removal. And I don't know, is that related to parks for your knowledge, or is that just in general a policy that we're moving forward? And maybe Mr. Philby Williams might have more insight.
Vice President Kennedy, Council Mayo, the city established and the council approved an EAB management plan, I believe in 2016, pretty shortly after the first appearance of EAB here. At which point we were peering into the crystal ball to see what life with EAB might act. Now we're really in the thick of it. And as much as our team is keeping pace, they are keeping pace just barely, and doing so by essentially focusing 100% of their time on EAB and other forestry work as possible. These larger ash trees, you know, are reaching this critical state in numbers, you know, where they're vulnerable to abrupt collapse. And so I think what we have found is that EAB plan, for the most part, has served us exceptionally well. And there are a few minor respects in which we are either having to pivot slightly or finding it wise to pivot slightly. Some of it's just around the judgment calls our professional forester makes around which particular ash trees are in sufficiently good condition that they ought to be eligible for EAB. We have some residents who, including myself, who are strongly attached to the trees in our boulevards, and some of those individual determinations where our forester will say, based on his advanced training, this tree is too far gone for it to make sense to invest in treatment. Some of the residents will contest that. I think we're talking about, end, it will be 3,000 ash trees in our boulevards that will have to be removed, placed, and there's an efficiency issue that we can't
effectively litigate the fate of a large number of trees at a time when that crew is, in essence, in a kind of protracted emergency mode.
So do we take those kind of on a case-by-case basis? If someone says, I have this tree in my boulevard that I'm attached to, then you'll have the forester look into that case more? Is that kind of how it works at the moment?
Yes, there's a provision in the plan that residents we give them a notice before trees are removed, and we specifically give them opportunity to volunteer to pay for treatment of large mature properties, but that is subject to those trees healthy, reasonably.
And then one more question, if I may. I was just curious how you're kind of planning and thinking about maybe not even just next year, but the years to follow with the parks levy not having gone through this year, and you know, making sure that we're still getting to some of those projects. And I know that obviously our budget is much more limited than we would like it to be with that, and just kind of thinking about how we're strategizing around that, maybe.
Vice President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, I think you know, for 2023, we are planning something like status quo operations, albeit with, you know, a couple of additional notches of belt tightening. But we know that we need that this problem is worsening quickly enough that we need to develop a new strategy relatively soon. And so the mayor, the CAO, and I are meeting on November 28th to talk about research and discussions we've had and inform a new strategy. We're already having to, just in the last week, I've cut different projects that are quite important to the community that would not otherwise work.
And it's unfortunate that didn't pass, obviously, but you know, I'm glad that conversations are being had about what the plan is moving forward and how we'll address that.
Parks are too important, and there's too much reason in the long term to be hopeful and optimistic for us to indulge in much in our own disappointment.
Thank you.
Councilor Tominick.
Thank you, Chair Kennedy and Mr. Berkland. This is a question I asked last week, but I want to revisit it. There's an increase of about $42,000 in salaries, but $153,000 in benefits. And I'm trying to figure out, I asked Mr. Schuckman last week, is that health care? And he said yes, but I'd like to break that down a little bit more. Is that deductibles, premiums, co-pays? Where does that huge jump in benefits come?
Vice President Kennedy, Councilor Tominick, I couldn't answer that question for you. I'd have to direct that question to finance.
Vice President Kennedy, Councilor Tominick, you know, ultimately those are well over 95% of that is attributable to self-insured, approximately that represents increases in premiums, but the premiums are just tracking with the underlying medical expense. That is the preponderance.
So to clarify, if utilization goes up, then premiums go up. So it's a result of it's a result of both of those. Am I saying that properly?
You know, we do have our budget manager
great.
Here.
Great.
Jessica Casper.
Thank you.
For Kennedy, Councilor Tomanek, in this case, there was several changes from single to family.
Okay.
So when there's turnover, what I'm seeing is that when people choose the city now, it's for the health care. So when people make changes, it's going to be the healthcare, not necessarily the pay. Does that make sense?
When people join, when they now, seek
yes.
employment?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so I'm seeing budgetarily that when they do join, family is going to be is typically what they choose, and that's going to be more of an expense to us. Last year, we'd budgeted for 9 family, and this year, 17 in their department alone.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
I'm sorry. What is the swing between family and individual again?
Approximately about 13K to 26K. Yes.
Councilor Mayo, are you, or Councilor Tomnick, or Randorf, do you have another question? Both of you good? You have one? Go ahead, please.
I forgot to ask this earlier. The grant coordinator position, the 0.25, can you talk about which departments that position is shared with and where the funding for that came from?
For Vice President Kennedy, Councilor Mayo, it's entirely within our department, but the funding comes from a mix of parks, libraries, fleets. We temporarily upgraded this position to full-time in response to the unprecedented profusion of federal funding opportunities for the next few years and the attendant necessity to I think we our intent is to use that some for natural resources, some in partnership with our sustainability officer, Mindy Granley, and some for library and some for parks.
Fantastic. I know in talking with a variety of city staff, it's a huge need, and just the amount of money sitting out there that we could grab is it could be really, really helpful and pay for that position in itself easily.
Any other questions? We are adjourned, and thank you.
Thank you.
That's great.
Better.
Where do you want him to stay?
Get him to say the allegiance fast so you can win the.